Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Mike Tomlin's The Topic, Jerry Dulac reporting that Tomlin will be back, that the Steelers plan to have Tomlin back. Plans can change. We know that. There's so many different ways to quantify this. The Steelers are tied with the Dolphins for the longest playoff losing streak active right now at six games. They've won half as many playoff games as the Houston Texans over the past 14 years, Bob. Steelers have won three playoff games in 14 years. Three playoff games in 14 years.
And the quarterbacks in those games were not elite quarterbacks.
A.J. McCarron, Matt Moore, and I think Alex Smith, he was pretty good at the time. The last time they've beaten a truly elite quarterback in a playoff game, who? Do you put Flacco in that category? Flacco? Or was it before that? It's almost you can't remember it. I remember Ed Bouchette coming on this show, I don't know, about 5 years ago, and I put out the Houston Texans stat then. And Ed scolded me, Bob. He reprimanded me on live radio and said, you're comparing the Houston Texans to the Pittsburgh Steelers? And I said, no, Ed, I would never want to insult the Texans that way. They have twice as many. But my other point to Ed at that time, I think he actually phrased it, would you rather be the Texans or the Steelers? And I said, the Texans. This was at the time, and now it's coming back to me now, that Deshaun Watson was getting out of town. Because they had sunk to the bottom of the league again and were going to get their quarterback. And now they have their quarterback. And now they win playoff games. They play at home in the playoffs. They had a down regular season. Who gives a crap? He was really good the other day, and they're pretty good. They gave the Chiefs a run for their money 3 or 4 weeks ago, one score game. Houston got their guy. The Steelers don't have theirs. They're reeling. They're desperate. Alex Kozora of Steelers Depot put out a stat. I don't know if you saw this one, Bob, that the Steelers have lost five straight games without ever having a lead. They haven't led in five games. He said it's only three times in Steelers history, Alex said, which began in 1933. I was there. Where Pittsburgh has gone five straight games without ever having a single lead. 1938, they were 2-9. 1969, I don't have the record offhand. I'm guessing they were pretty bad. Yeah,
it was bad.
And this year,
right? That's not
like, I don't know. I'm exasperated by this. I don't want to feed into some like crazy frenzy here. To me, this is just the rational take right now. And here's the thing: Art is Mr. Rational. He's a very rational guy. But in this case, bringing back Tomlin is the irrational move. It's gone from being, yes, I am Mr. Rational, and in the name of Steelers' historic stability, we'll keep going with Mike. That has now become an irrational thought, which is one of the other ironies to this whole thing, is Mr. Rational is being irrational. And I've mentioned many times the ironies to the non-losing streak that the Steelers seem to be so proud of, is that Tomlin does have a losing season. It's called the postseason, where he's now 8-11. 8-11.
And in the last eight.
0-8. No, 0-6. 0-6, but 0-8 in 8 years.
Right.
In 12 of the last 14 years, they have zero playoff wins. And again, I'm going to stop saying that. And I'm going to stop saying they haven't won a playoff game in 8 years, because that's not accurate. They haven't been competitive in a playoff game in 8 years. Not competitive. And all the best the Steelers can do at this point in their existence is get in as a double-digit underdog, as a group of five team in the college football playoff, and get immediately dispatched, disregarded, and blown out. And somehow that comes off to people, I guess Art is one of them, as being okay. So he's going to get in front of the media one of these days, probably this week or next, and say, this time. We have Brian Kelly pounding his fist. This time I've had enough. Now, last year, I love that clip. So Art's going to get in front of the media again, and he's going to say what he said last year, which is, I think everybody, he said, there's an urgency to win playoff games. There's an urgency. I think everybody, myself, Mike, guys that have been on the team for a while, everybody, we've had enough of this, Rooney said. It's time to get some playoff wins. And I'm adding the word playoff. He said wins, he meant playoff. It's time to take these next steps. Or what, Art, is what I would say. Because they didn't. Not only did they not, but this might have been the worst playoff loss of all because it was your arch rival. You were non-competitive. It looked to the entire country like you quit on them. Najee said after the game that the team is fractured in so many words. It was the worst, Bob, I think.
But right after that, after those words, which I was surprised there was an extension. That's what I go back to last year. I thought the easy way to play this was just let the contract go. You want to have 1 year left, call them whatever you want, lame duck, not... It is what it is. You have 1 year to decide on what happens. And if the results change based on the urgency, then you sign him now.
Yes, that's what I've been saying is don't extend him.
They didn't do that. They extended him, and that's why I think they're in the situation they're in.
Not only extended him, they gave him a raise.
Everyone in sports gets raises today, regardless of your performance.
Well, they also gave him one extra year than they normally do. Rewarded for what? I mean, for what?
Well, see, the ultimate thing is wins, is how you succeed or don't succeed in the postseason.
Yes.
And if they are true to the standard, meets the standard line, then that's the standard. If it's not, it's below standard, and it's been below standard. So that has to change. And I think now, if there was urgency last year, what would you classify this as this year?
That's why I'm where I am. And I'm finally saying out loud that they need to move on from Mike Tomlin. They need to. There's nowhere else to turn. There's no changes to make. The GM has changed. The quarterbacks have changed. The roster has changed. The coordinators have changed. The coaches have changed. The offensive line has changed. There's nowhere else to turn. It's all pointing at one guy. And it couldn't be more obvious to really, I think, any rational observer. It couldn't be more obvious. Are there other people to blame for what the Steelers find themselves in, which is an 8-year streak where they haven't even been competitive in a single playoff game and have missed the playoffs almost 40% of the time in those 8 years? I think that gets overlooked. 3 out of 8 is almost 40%. Even Ron could figure that out, Bob. And he was pretty good at math. The Stars themselves haven't performed on defense. They've been invisible in the playoffs. Omar Khan failed to fortify two areas of great need that we all knew going into the season. Depth in the secondary, depth at receiver. He failed. He just flat out failed. Guys that Omar has put significant money into, I would say, Ogunjobi, Deontay, Alex Highsmith, Patrick Queen, Pat Freiermuth. Any one of those players a needle mover for you, Bob? They're not for me.
Not at the money that, I thought Patrick Queen had a good middle part of the year, but not as good as the end of the year. So, yeah, I mean, those are all guys who he had big expectations for based on the money you gave, and it's not worked out.
He's had some other good moves, for sure. Deshaun Elliott was good. Other guys he's put money into, great. The drafts, the arrow kind of goes up and down on those. I'm not so sure about the opening of Broderick Jones and Joey Porter, which Omar was lauded for. That suddenly doesn't look so great because both those guys took a step back, and that was pretty big. That was a pretty big moment for the franchise to basically have two first-round picks. Did he go 0-for-2? Too early to say, but man, the arrow's trending back in that direction because you need high-impact players, not just players.
One of them is Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he wasn't that way. So What do you think the reason for that is? Because there have been a lot of debate about what's happened to Minkah Fitzpatrick. Is he just a step slower? Or did they put him in the wrong position to take advantage of whatever skills that he has, which I think are significant?
They could put Minkah at offensive guard, and he needs to be better than he's been. I'm tired of the excuses for Minkah. He got swatted around like a fly the other day. He's done nothing in any playoff game, and he never creates a turnover, almost never.
But is that by design, their design?
It can't be. I don't care how they're deploying him. That's inexcusable.
Well, he's less effective if you just keep him back there as the last line of defense.
Ed Reed was a center fielder. He seemed to make a lot of turnovers. Okay. I thought Minkah was a Hall of Famer. Well,
his skill set would tell me that he needs to be more active in various ways.
Did you see him get swatted the other night?
Yeah, it was a stiff arm right to the face, yes. He's been chasing a lot of people.
I think he's a step slower. I do.
So,
and I don't know about his future. We can talk about the players' futures coming up, but I know Omar has identified those guys. Ogunjobi, underachiever. Deontay, got rid of him. And I'm not so sure the guy he brought in is any good either. Had a nice year as far as interceptions goes, but by the end of the year, he was getting smoked in coverage. Alex Highsmith, 13 sacks in his last 28 games. Where was he the other night? He's not a needle mover. Patrick Queen, nope. And Pat Freiermuth. You know, I guess they paid him like an average tight end, which is what he is, but he is not a needle mover. I'm sorry. He dropped the first pass of the game.
He's not schemed to be that either. I think it still falls on the coaching staff to how these guys are not in position to make plays. You have to scheme guys open, too. If you don't scheme them open, then what good is it?
I mean, he dropped the last pass of one game and the first pass of this game.
He fumbled the one game. I get all
that. He fumbled the one game. He also had a first down the other night where he needed 1 yard, and a guy half his size cut him down like an oak tree. I'm sorry, but you didn't need to pay Freiermuth. Not a good draft pick either. Pretty good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a pretty good player, but you can find a lot of those at that position, and they had other needs. That was a luxury pick. That was the Steelers' arrogance, that draft. In retrospect, taking a running back in the first round and a tight end in the second, they missed out on a Hall of Fame center when they needed a Hall of Fame center. They were drafting luxuries. Luxuries. You saw the kid for Tampa Bay last night, Bucky Irvin, fourth round pick. He's 10 times better than Najee Harris, who averages 2.7 yards in his playoff career. 2.7.
Yeah, I think that was the wrong pick at the wrong time. I think we thought so just because of the way running backs are available. You didn't need to do it there, and they did. And he's had an okay 4 years, but you want more than okay from guys who are number one picks, for sure.
You want home run hitters, you want needle movers, and the Steelers, and I guess you include Tomlin in this too, but Omar and Mike have just failed in that respect. All right, let's get back to the line here with the story of the day, which is Mike Tomlin.
We're going to take your phone call first, Joe. Let's go to Dave, who's in Newcastle.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call. So it's probably not a coincidence that the very first caller basically took the words right out of my mouth. I was on a forum, a Steelers forum, and there was a great post about how you guys in the media are going to play a big role in what happens next. And, Joe, I want to thank you for being direct up front. No doubt about it. City Limits, you too. Bob, you got to get on board, buddy. You got to be straight. You got to shoot it straight.
Listen, like I said at the beginning, I wouldn't have extended him last year. Does that tell you how I felt?
Absolutely. It's imperative that we –
I honestly don't think they're going to be swayed one way or the other in their beliefs. They've done what they've done for all these years, and they believe in their process.
I don't know about that. I think if the heat's turned up – the media, the thing with Tomlin is he's always been the media sweetheart, the media darling, and nobody, to be honest with you, really, even in local media, hits him with a lot of the hard. Who asks Tomlin tough questions? For real, think about it. Nobody ever asked Tomlin the tough questions over the years. And so that's where we are there now. The other thing that this does, too, is now that you look back on it, was it the right move to pull Justin Fields? Because now you don't know. You have no idea. Obviously, we're moving on from Russell. I mean, I can't see.
Obviously. I don't know if it's that obvious. I still have my doubts. I would prefer, like you, moving forward with Fields. I'm not I'm not looking at a 37-year-old to be as somebody who I want to build around, and it also kicks the can down the road on eventually trying to find your franchise quarterback.
I agree. I don't think he's passing the eye test right now. I think, as we've said, you know, many times, the difference with, you know, someone that's in their prime and as they age is not that you can't do great things sometimes, but it's the consistency. And there's too many times where you see Russell Wilson think he can get out of the pocket, thinks that he can make the play, thinks that he can get the first down, and he either gets caught or he sits back there too long and he's overestimating his own ability at this point. That's a sign of age. You know, and here's the thing. If Tomlin wants to hold on to his legacy here in Pittsburgh, I feel that he needs to be – I heard about this no-trade clause. It is – he needs – I feel like as long as the Steelers have been loyal to him, and it's from the beginning of his career to all of this time that they've given him, that he needs to be okay with a trade. If he wants to maintain his any type of goodwill – with Steelers Nation, because I would say it's almost close to 100, well, obviously not 100% of the fan base, but well over 90% of the fan base is now finally, I think, come to the realization that it's time to move on. And he is holding us hostage. He needs to be okay with a trade. We need to trade him. You trade him. I'm sorry, but TJ, he's not showing up and he's not getting the, you know, it's tough, but he never shows up when it's time at the end of the season. He's not getting younger, and his style of play is not conducive to a long career. Obviously, you got to do something with George Pickens. With those pieces right there, you can literally turn this franchise around. The problem is, I don't know that this is a good year for quarterbacks in the draft, but you have enough to acquire draft picks or trades to do what you need to do. The answer is there. The problem is you have an owner who is, like I believe you guys said earlier, Joseph, that is afraid, that is living in his fears, that will not do what needs to be done. The ship is steering itself right into iceberg. Well, it's already hit the iceberg, and there's nobody there to actually do what needs to be done.
All right. Well, I appreciate your take on that. First of all, I don't think they're afraid. I think they just believe in what they believe. Right or wrong, that's what they're doing. And they believe he still can change this thing around. We'll see. But I think there has to be change, a lot of change. And to your point about all these players, and by the way, Joe had something that he needed to take care of, so he won't be back the rest of the day. So wishing him all the best and everything goes well. So just so you know. But I think in a situation like decisions with some of these players, you mentioned three of them right off the bat. Watt, the quarterback, and George Pickens. George Pickens has 1 year left. What do you do? You know, we brought this up last night. I don't know that they want to give the kind of money to a player who can be up and down in a mercurial way. He's a very talented kid, but there's a lot of diva in him that we've seen in other receivers. Are you willing to give $30 million a year, whatever it takes on that? And Austin, I don't know how you feel about that, but I wouldn't do it. I'd have the same approach that I said last year about Mike. I would just let it play out and see where it takes me. I'm not obligated to do anything. And if he has a good year, I then can franchise him if I so choose. But I don't have to just say, okay, it's time for a contract. We're going to give you this.
I would not give him a deal right now. No, not after what we just witnessed over the last 5 weeks. Middle of the season, I was trending in that direction. But I've never been too willing to give Pickens a deal just because of the attitude concerns that we see on the field. And the Steelers' track record and history of dealing with these wide receivers lends us to believe that George Pickens is likely going to get traded this offseason. Considering what they did with Chase Claypool, letting Juju walk, trading Deontay, AB, Martavis Bryant. I mean, we can go on and on and on about this.
Yeah.
So I would let it play out another year. I don't think there's anybody that you would franchise tag next season, because either you're going to sign TJ Watt this year going into next year, or you're probably going to bring him back. I can't imagine them franchise tagging TJ Watt. So your most logical franchise tag candidate looking down the road is likely going to be George Pickens. So I would just play it out,
exactly,
or look to trade him. I mean, if somebody blows me away with a first-round draft pick, I'd be fine with moving off of Pickens and drafting a wide receiver in the first round. Somebody who can also
or
get
signing
me off
someone in free agency.
I mean, I
would
the do
name
both.
T. Higgins, there are going to be other guys out there who can come in and make a difference if you're looking for a number one. If you don't believe George is, but I'll just let George be George. One more year and see where it takes. And if he doesn't adjust to it, I thought Najee Harris handled his situation well this year. A lot of people didn't think he would. No fifth-year option?
He'll be back. No, I don't think there's any chance.
But I'm saying he handled it well. How will George handle it?
I don't think very well, given the track record and the history of how he's handled everything else.
Then you know you don't bring him back after that. If there is a market for him, and there very well could be because he's a very talented guy, although you will be hurting your own situation again, we saw a complete change in the quarterback room. How about a complete change in the wide receiver room if that happens?
Well, and I mean, going back to Deontay Johnson, they were right to move off of Deontay. Now, was the timing of it right? Probably not, because they could have used him to potentially trade for Ayuk or whoever else it might be. They were right to trade Deontay, dude, everything in the locker room and running backwards and whatever. But that was on Mike Tomlin, and that was on the general manager, where they just did not acquire anybody. So you could still move off of George Pickens, but you need to have a contingency plan in place. And they thought they had a contingency plan with IU, maybe Devontae Adams pursuing that, but it just never came to fruition. And I'm not willing to shell out a bunch of money for George Pickens. They need to bring in a wide receiver regardless of what you do with George Pickens.
No, no question about it. I think it's the number one issue that they have on the team.
Number one issue, wide receiver?
Well, after quarterback. Quarterback's a separate entity.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking at positions, where else would you, you know, place wide receiver? To me, it's the top of the list.
It's number two.
I take quarterback out of it because that's a whole different department. Quarterback play is, you know, I got this strange feeling they're going to sign Russell Wilson.
I hope you're
right,
Bob.
And I don't think that's the right move. I don't. And I respect what he's done. I just think at his age, I think it's better to move into a different direction there. And if it's Justin Fields, I think if you pride yourself on bringing the best out of players and, you know, systems that can bring the best out of a player, I got to believe he still has up-end talent. I think his ceiling is higher.
Let me run this by you
do
then,
you?
Bob.
Would you keep him or would you sign Wilson?
Not at all. I would not keep Russell Wilson. This is what I would do. And I put this out on Twitter, and it got a lot of play. I said the Steelers should let Russell Wilson walk, and they should let Justin Fields be their starter in 2025. If Justin Fields does well, then you might have your answer. Might. It's still keeping the door open that you can move off of him. But if Fields struggles, you get a high draft pick, and you can draft a quarterback. I don't care about this 18 years in a row with a non-losing season. It's exactly what's gotten the Steelers to this point, in the middle with no sense of direction. What is their identity at this point? They can't really run the football. They can't throw the football. Their $130 million defense is getting gashed. Get out of the middle and do something. If you have to be terrible for a year, maybe you had to take two steps back to be able to take a couple giant steps forward. Yeah, and that's the only realistic path I see for this franchise.
Well, unless something happens with Justin Fields and all of a sudden he discovers that he is the number one pick they thought he was. And again, I'm not going to rule that out only because I think his talent level is high. I think he seems like a guy who's very coachable to me. This was sort of a reset season for him, and I think it may have helped him. So I have him here. I'm going to try to keep him here. That's just my view. I know a lot of people have different views on quarterbacks. But aside from the wide receiving, they need help everywhere. They need help at cornerback again, right?
At corners,
they do, because Dante Jackson likely won't be back.
He shouldn't be back.
Cam Sutton will not be back.
Oh, what a problem Cam Sutton was this year, huh? Who would have thought that he would end up being that bad? Like, he wasn't good in Detroit, but you think in the defense that he's familiar with, Mike Tomlin loves him.
But I also think it stunted Beanie Bishop a little bit. I thought Beanie Bishop was playing pretty good football.
They had to put Beanie Bishop on the side of a milk carton. We hadn't seen him over the last couple of weeks.
But again, I think that's more choosing Cam Sutton over him.
And who's on that? Whose fault is that?
Well, that's Mike Tomlin's fault. Everything still goes to the top. It always does with all these decisions. And I think, you know, generally speaking, that game was another indication of this whole idea that you got to play mistake-free football. When you play mistake-free football or ask your team to play mistake-free football, you normally make mistakes or you become a shell of what you can be because you're not willing to do things that are risky moves. You have to be willing to throw it down the field early in games as opposed to what we've seen. And when it's not working in the run game, you got to do something different. So I'm not surprised how that game went.
No, I'm not either.
I thought Baltimore would win rather easily, and they did, because I hadn't seen anything to make me think it was going to change.
No, I had 31-14, so I'm glad they at least did not score another field goal and make it a three-score game. But silver linings on how large the loss was, that's the rock bottom we've currently hit.